This is Ozarks at Large. Fayetteville can claim several distinguished writers as one-time residents. Joan Hess, Donald Harrington, Miller Williams, Jeffrey Davis, William Harrison, Michael Downs, and Ellen Gilchrist. Just a small sample of the writers who have lived or do live in Fayetteville. In the first half of the 20th century, Charles J. Finger made his home just west of Fayetteville in a home and farm he called Gaeta. Finger was quite the writer, completing about three dozen works while here, including Tales from the Silver Lands, the winner of the 1925 Newbery Award for Contributions to Children's Literature. Elizabeth Findlay Shore's new biography of Finger, Shared Secrets, The Queer World of Newbery Medalist Charles J. Finger, covers much of his life, including his years in Fayetteville. She'll discuss the book, published by the University of Arkansas Press, Thursday afternoon in conjunction with special collections at the University of Arkansas. Yesterday, we reached her and asked about Finger's life. He was born in London, lived in South America, San Angelo, Texas, New Mexico, and Ohio before coming to Arkansas. All the while, he was doing what he needed to do to become a writer.
The real stroke of luck for him in terms of networking was that he'd offered a few short pieces to a weekly periodical in St. Louis called Reedy's Mirror, and also submitted to the editor, William Marion Reedy, some pieces of short fiction, and Reedy gave him some valuable feedback on those and encouraged him to submit pieces to other editors, including H.L. Mencken. So Mencken published a few of Finger's short stories, and that was really the breakthrough for him.
The name of this book is Shared Secrets, The Queer World of Newbery Medalist Charles J. Finger. We mentioned secrets, and we'll get to more of those in a minute. But his life starts with a secret because he wasn't able or desirable to tell his birth date for many years,
right?
Because it was before his parents were legally married.
That's right. That's right. And I pieced that together because I noticed after I'd been working on his life for a while and simply trying to put together a chronology of events in his life, I noticed that he gave different years for his birth at different times and to different people. And I thought that was weird. And so, I dug back a little further and discovered that his parents were married. As I recall, they were married either 3 months or 15 months after he was born in London. And that turns out to be, coincidental, because when his own wife became pregnant with their first child, they weren't yet married, and he balked at marrying her for a while. Finally did, before the child was born. But I guess he took after his father and not really wanting to get tied down.
Entrapped, I think, is how he
viewed. He considered it entrapment, yes. Yeah.
So after England and Patagonia and New York and San Angelo and Ohio, how does he decide on Fayetteville, which wasn't exactly a metropolis in the first 20% of the 20th century?
Yeah. And I'm afraid that I never arrived at a really definitive answer to that question. Here's what I think happened. Nellie, his wife, her father was still living out in New Mexico, but wanted to be closer to his family, particularly Nellie, and was willing to sell his property in New Mexico to finance the Fingers starting over in some kind of sheep ranch. Nellie's father had been a sheep rancher himself. I think during this same period that they were talking about doing that, Finger was doing a lot of traveling for this Cleveland company called Fischel and Marks. And I think he probably went to Fayetteville on a business trip and saw advertisements in the Fayetteville newspaper for small farms that were for sale. I found a lot of advertisements that appeared during the period when he would have been thinking about doing this. And I know that he wanted to get out of the railroad business and set himself up as a writer, and his oldest son was nearly grown, old enough to help him. And he thought that his father-in-law, his son, that the three of them could start a small sheep ranch outside Fayetteville and make a go of it, and that he would be a relatively free to be a full-time rider. So I think it was a coincidence of his father having the money for the stake, and I mean father-in-law, and then seeing those advertisements.
Get the sheep farm going. Have the family, the extended family there, really establish yourself as a writer. You're being published by Angel Meakin, who's more or less a household name across America. I mean, people know that name. So there is some success. And he in fact, he brings Carl Sandburg to Fayetteville.
Well, you've hit on the other really key turning point. And that was his getting to know Sandburg. And the way that happened was there was a pair, a couple in Missouri, I think that's right, who were leftist publishers. And they published this series of little pamphlets known as Little Blue Books. And a lot of those were condensed versions of works of literature that were now out of copyright. You could print them up without paying royalties to the authors. And these people paid Finger to do a lot of those condensations, and they knew Sandburg. So he met Sandburg through them, and Sandburg was on a book tour, came to Fayetteville with his guitar, sang and recited poetry somewhere on the university campus, I expect. And then one of the young faculty members brought him out to Gaeta, the Finger place. And he spent an evening chatting with Finger, and they really bonded. Well, that led to Sandburg recommending Finger to this wonderful woman named Mae Massey, who had just been hired by the publishing house Doubleday in 1922 to start a children's books division. And she was interested in publishing literature that represented different cultures around the world. She was friends with Sandburg and his wife. She was telling them about this hope she had, and Sandburg said, well, you know, this guy Finger might be just right for one of those projects. So she wrote to Finger on Sandburg's advice.
You mentioned Gaeta, and that is this arts colony that he dreamed of developing in Fayetteville. What were the origins of his desire to have Gaeta?
Well, as I kind of describe in the book, one of his literary heroes was a writer in England named Edward Carpenter. And Carpenter was openly queer and in a relationship and had a small rural estate someplace outside London, which was, I think, probably the first example Finger knew of an art colony, because Carpenter and his lover would have various sort of long-term house guests at that place. Then when Finger was going through that long self-guided study as a writer during the Ohio years, one of the writers he studied a lot was Jack London. Jack London was the most successful writer in the country, incredibly popular, incredibly rich, and he bought a ranch in California that he called Beauty Ranch and built a cottage and then built a larger house. He wrote a novel based on Beauty Ranch, and Finger was very familiar with all of that. So I think that Carpenter's place and London's place were the two main inspirations for Gaeta as a place where he could have other artists, writers, painters, photographers visit, you know, for an afternoon or overnight or a month. You know, there were some he invited to live on the place long term.
He also was behind All's Well, which was a publication that,
yes,
that he did in Fayetteville. Tell me about that.
Well, as I said, he got to know William Marion Reedy, who was the editor of Reedy's Mirror in St. Louis. And Reedy actually went to San Francisco in 1920 to cover the Democratic convention and asked Finger to come over from Cleveland and fill in as the editor for a few weeks while he was gone. Finger did that, and then Reedy unexpectedly died in California. And so Finger stayed on in St. Louis for a few more weeks, putting out issues of the Mirror, until Reedy's widow very suddenly said, enough is enough, this never made any money, forget it. And she shut it down. And so he had nothing left to do at that point but go on to Fayetteville, where his wife and father-in-law and their kids had already sort of gotten started. All's Well was his attempt to resurrect Reedy's Mirror. And in fact, he sent out sort of mass mailings to people who were subscribers to the Mirror, people who were contributors to the Mirror, inviting them to do one or both with All's Well. And that's how he pretty quickly built up a mailing list and a roster of contributors. But All's Well was always primarily a vehicle for Finger, writing primarily about Finger. So there were a lot of what people called little magazines at the time, very small periodicals, more or less esoteric. And his fit in that, but as Minkin observed, it was also sort of an outlier among those little oddball journals. It really was unique. But he kept it going for, 15 years, I think.
And you know, in All's Well, there are, and throughout his life, of course, the name of this book is Shared Secrets, The Queer World of Newbery Medalist Charles J. Finger. There are coded ways that gay writers, gay men can talk about this without, I guess, signaling the rest of the of the world, and he could do that in All's Well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He saw the readership of All's Well as two circles, and the outer circle was sort of the fairly literate, college educated middle class, people who had enough income and leisure time that they liked to read magazines and they were interested in new literature. You have to remember at this time, during in the interwar years, new books were as significant as new TV shows are now. They were the backbone of popular culture. So lots of people would subscribe to a lot of periodicals in order to keep up with everything that was happening in the publishing world. And All's Well filled that role. But for a smaller circle of readers, it was definitely sort of a virtual social network. There were people who were primarily interested in queer literature. And they read and wrote reviews for each other, and he published a lot of those in All's Well.
He won the Newbery in 1925. Of course, if someone wins one a Newbery now, it's quite the career maker. Was it like that in almost 100 years ago?
Yeah, completely. His was only the fourth, so it was a really big deal. He was an absolute rock star in children's books for really the next 10 years anyway, and he certainly made the most of that.
Elizabeth Findlay Shores is the author of Shared Secrets, The Queer World of Newbery Medalist Charles J. Finger, published by the University of Arkansas Press. She'll participate in a virtual talk about the book and the writer Thursday afternoon from 4 to 5. There will also be a virtual tour of related special collections holdings. The event is open to the public, but requires registration. You can register by searching eventbrite.com, and we also have a link at ozarksatlarge.com.